Hello, everyone, and welcome to another preview here on the Cycling Day YouTube channel and on the podcast if you're listening. Today, the race we're going to be covering is one of the most exciting ones usually on the calendar, arguably the sixth monument of the one-day races. And this is, of course, the glorious race of Strada Bianchi. With me to discuss the preview of who will win this is, of course, our own Mr. Gregor himself, Ewan Wilson. And Ewan, yeah, I mean, we're both super excited about this race every year. And you're looking forward to it this year.
Of course, I love Strada Bianchi. I've loved this race for well over 10 years now. Even the history of this race, it's a relatively new endeavor as well. It was a Gran Fondo you could enter as an amateur, but you had to ride on an old-fashioned bike, the Eroica, as it was known. The Gran Fondo still exists, but it eventually evolved into a professional race, beginning its history under the Eroica name, soon to become Strada Bianchi. It made the big step up in 2017, finally becoming a World Tour event, and ever since, it really has been one of the spectacles of the year. We've seen legends made on the white gravel roads of Tuscany, from Mattia Van der Poel to Wout Van Aert, Julia Alaphilippe, Michał Kwiatkowski, Cancellara, Pogacar and beyond. This is one of the most star-studded races of the calendar.
Yeah, the big headline though is that Tadej Pogacar, the winner of last year, is not going to be at the race, focusing on Paris-Nice, which you understand as well. But what awaits the riders for the 2023 edition?
Well, the 2023 Strada Bianchi will start in the city of Siena in Tuscany, a city known for its sort of horse races and sort of old Renaissance history, but it is back to host Strada Bianchi. From there, the riders will roll out on the course, which will involve 60 kilometers of gravel sectors over the total 180-kilometer long parkour. Yes, it's not quite as long as the normal monuments. So with that, the riders will make their way through the rolling hills of Tuscany. The longer sections coming at roughly halfway through the race with a 12-kilometer long gravel section. However, the decisive parts will come later on into the stage, with the notable and now iconic Le Tolfe serving as the final gravel sector of the day, with an 18% maximum gradient, with the most decisive and final gravel sector coming at 13 kilometers to go at Le Tolfe, which maxes at 18%. It is quite the kicker, the kick in the teeth that the riders will have before 13 kilometers of smooth asphalt towards Siena, where they will finish at the Piazza del Campo. But it's not all easy. The final kicker to the line on the very, very narrow streets of Siena will ramp up to the double digits and will provide us with probably one of the spectacles of the year. We've seen it before where riders go side by side waiting for that final decisive attack where the earth shatters and we will have our victor of Strada Bianchi decided.
Well, yeah, Ewan, it's such an interesting course. It's not a course that the bikes will like, to say the least, but and plenty team DSs don't really like it either because of the incredible terrain. Nevertheless, focusing on the favorites, and I think the team we have to start with, not UAE team Emirates because we don't have Tadej Pogacar, but potentially one of the most successful teams, we have Michał Kwiatkowski here as well, who is a two-time champion, but rather let's start with Jumbo Visma. Wout van Aert has one of the best records in his four appearances, finishing only outside the top three once in 2021. Coming back to the race now, he has had a bit of an illness, but we also have Thijs Benoot, who we saw win in Kern-Brussel-Kern. And Ewan, Jumbo-Visma, are they the team to beat?
You would say so on paper. This team is fantastic. While Van Aert has the headline act, he is so reliable at Strada Bianchi from his early days in 2018 when he was still at the pro continental level. He was really fighting for victory in this race. He even sort of collapsed on the final kicker to the line. Then coming back and getting the bacon, getting the big cheese in 2020 with the victory there on the very hot COVID edition of Strada Bianchi. He is a guy who rolls with the punches on terrain like this, on the gravel, the steep climbs. Wout van Aert is a guy you can rely on to be there in the mix. With his teammates as well, I mean, you mentioned Thijs, who's won here before, just won in Kuurne, but he's also being sort of backed up by a really strong group of teammates. Attila Valter, who rode a very, very strong Gran Camino and finished in fourth place last year whilst riding for Groupama Française des Jeux over in northern Spain. Jan Tratnik, who had a very strong Omloop Het Nieuwsblad in Belgium. Also, we're looking towards Milan Vader, who's starting this race as well, who is a mountain biker, slowly making his way back to the top level after a very nasty crash in 2022 with his mountain bike expertise. I mean, But mountain bikers have done well here in the past. I'm looking towards Fuglsang, who performed well in 2019. Tom Pidcock has performed well. Mathieu van der Poel, of course, has won this race. Sagan, even. There are plenty of case studies for mountain bikers doing well, and Milan-Vada could provide that once again. And if Jumbo-Visma really attack this race and ride it as aggressively as they have at Omloop Het Nieuwsblad, at Kuurne Brussel-Kuurne, and all the sort of classics that Wout started in 2022, then I think they're in with a very, very good shout. There is stiff competition here, from his rivals, who we'll touch on. But I think Wout van Aert will begin on Saturday as the favorite to win on the gravel roads.
They've started doing this tactic where it seems, well, they haven't even used Wout van Aert yet in this season. And they've just, their numbers in these, the crucial moves of the race seems just to outnumber everyone else. And then they have a third rider in the second group. So they've played it really well here. And Jan Tratnik as well, a new signing. Altila Valta, a new signing. Both of them really eager to perform, I think, in Strade Bianche.
Mm, for sure. And they've already been performing quite well. Tratnik's been at sort of an altitude camp, sort of seemed like a boys trip with Primoz Roglic, preparing for their goals late this year. And it seems to have paid off. Very strong Omloop there. And he was a part of the winning team at Kuurne Brussel-Kuurne. So motivation will be high. He's a guy who's really been coming of age in the classics over the past couple of years, and he is a reliable engine and a fantastic teammate. We saw that when he was riding for Slovenia at the Olympic Games a couple of years back as well, and at the World Championships on behalf of Roglic and Pogacar. So I'm very excited to see what Tratnik will bring to the table. And I mean, Valter is a guy who rode very, very well last year, and will probably be sort of a very, very useful teammate in sort of bullying the other contenders, notably a certain Mathieu van der Poel.
Well, you jumped the gun there. Yeah, yeah, you can't say Wout van Aert without Mathieu van der Poel in the same breath almost. But to finish the Jumbo-Visma, we talked about the Tenerife effect, the style that they've done. We talked about that on the Echelon Cycling podcast with Patrick. But yeah, it really has shown itself and the dividends. But yeah, nevertheless, moving on to Mathieu van der Poel, Alpecin De Koninck, it's their first year as a World Tour team. Mathieu van der Poel, we all remember the legendary 2021 edition, and Ewan, fifth world cyclocross title here. Do you think he is, you said Wout van Aert was the man to beat, but equally, is it Mathieu van der Poel potentially as well?
Well, I think the thing is, I say that because I think Wout van Aert has the full package, the record here in terms of really strong track record. Mathieu van der Poel similarly has a good track record, apart from the 2020 edition where he just sort of blew up on the day, but once again it was a very, very hot day. I think van der Poel has it in him to win it. He's won it before. He has that sort of primal kick, you could call it, to get away from riders on a climb like La Tolfa, and at the final kick it to the line towards the Piazza del Campo in Siena. He can get away from Wout there. I think his punch is better than Wout's, where Wout usually sort of takes a while to react to him. If Mathieu does one of those big attacks, then I think it could be game over. And we've seen him as well handle pressure from Wout very, very well over the past couple of years. It's rare when you see van der Poel target something that Wout van Aert is also at, that Wout beats him outright. It's not that common. Yes, there are some of these sort of like mini, what's like cyclocross World Cup races, but when it comes down to the sort of the big dog, the World Championships, Mathieu's your man. Even like last year in the classic season, Mathieu van der Poel, when he targets something, he cherry picks it into his schedule and he will perform well at it. Dwarste van Vlaanderen, de Ronde van Vlaanderen, he really hit the mark there. Even the Ronde, looking back at 2021 as well, Wout and Mathieu both targeting that race. Who comes out on top? Mathieu van der Poel. Yes, he finished second, but Wout wasn't on the podium. Nevertheless, thinking about his team as well, Gianni Vermeij, now the gravel world champion, let's not forget, is lining up. He's a fantastic teammate. He really, really is. I think he goes a bit unsung sometimes. He's a very, very reliable cog in the Alpecin De Koninck machine. If they can get those cogs turning, they haven't so far this year. They're, as of the day of recording, February 26th, they are the only World Tour team to have not won a race this year. So it's worrying on that front. But if you're going to rely on someone to get that big win, who else than Mathieu van der Poel?
Yeah, and also last year when everyone was saying, oh, you can't just come into the season not having a race, he podiumed at Milan-San Remo in his first race.
Yeah, and I mean, the Jumbo boys are doing it as well in terms of just sort of parachuting into the calendar, these big races, and whoom, Dylan van Baarle gets a big win. Vingegaard, similarly in Gran Camino, absolutely decimating the field. I think Van der Poel has cherry-picked Strade Bianche to be his opening. He could have easily said, I'll go to Omloop, go to Kuna Bissell-Kuna. He's based in the Low Countries. Come on. It would have been easy for him to do that and to sort of sign up for one of these races to get his legs turning. But he's cherry-picked Strade Bianche to target that one and probably to keep the ball rolling into Tirreno Adriatico and subsequently San Remo.
But yeah, that 2021 victory, really incredible. And the world champion on that day is the next person we're going to talk to. Recently taking a victory is Julien Philippe. He's going to be heading up a Soudal Quickstep team, we presume. And Ewan, do you have any faith of the 2019 champion potentially returning to some sort of, well, he was on podium in 2021. But do you think after the disaster of last year, that incredible crash that he had in the World Championships jersey, do you think potentially he is back at his top form here?
Yeah, I think it really was an annus horribilis last year. Only sort of putting it mildly there, and also with the curse of the rainbow jersey really kicked in 2022. So far, he's won that race in the Rhone Valley in Ardèche Classic. So I think he's, it obviously shows that something is there, but just with a caveat in that he didn't quite do a big Alaphilippe attack. He's sprinting against David Gaudu, who's a good sprinter, but he's not quite a Van der Poel kind of rider. And the field at Phan Ardèche was not the strongest. So you do kind of put some asterisks on that performance. But Alaphilippe similarly just has that sort of firecracker kick to get away on Le Tolfe or to get away at the Piazza del Campo. Do I think he has it in his legs to do it better than Van der Poel? I don't know. But Alaphilippe has been winding his legs up in the more orthodox manner. He was racing at the beginning of the year with those challenge races in the Balearic Islands, then going to the Rhone Valley, doing those classics, and now bouncing across to Strade Bianche. So, I mean, it's a little bit more of an orthodox build-up to the race, but I'm not convinced he has it in him to outdo the cyclocross duo, particularly Van der Poel on a sort of steep kicker like Le Tolfe.
Well, keeping the theme of cyclocross, we also have a certain downhill expert in recent weeks. Well, he's been that since he was probably 17. But yeah, Tom Pidcock, the mountain bike Olympic champion, is coming to the race. We saw him finish fifth in the 2021 edition. We expect he's going to be heading up the squad. He was fifth at Omloop. It's kind of like they're bringing a kid, like one of their youth team, and then they're being supervised by the elder statesman of Mikhail Kwiatkowski, who's won the race twice already in his career. Do you think we are looking towards Pidcock, or is it Mikhail Kwiatkowski just getting a last hurrah here, or how do Ineos play it? Magnus Sheffield's also on the provisional start list as well. Very strong rider.
Yeah, I was thinking Magnus Sheffield's the guy that rings alarm bells for me. Really, really solid rider. Won the Brabant Sepeil Flèche Brabançon last year in quite emphatic fashion. A really, really strong rider. And we've seen a couple of these young guys really break through at Strade Bianche as well. It's not as long as a monument, so I think that would suit him a little bit better. In the same way that Brabant Sepeil, it's not quite monument length. It's more sort of digestible, like Strade Bianche. And then, yeah, Kwiatkowski, he's here to sort of anchor this squad in terms of always being there. He's probably one of the most intelligent riders in the bunch when it comes to racing. He knows how to read a race incredibly well. And sometimes the Strade Bianche, it is about that sort of race intelligence, being cunning during the race that gets you far. Strade Bianche can sort of be like a harmonica sometimes. It opens up across the gravel sectors, comes back together, opens up, comes back together. And there's nobody who knows that more than Michał Kwiatkowski. His expertise will be valuable to Magnus Sheffield, or he could bank on his own abilities on the day and also probably ride it into top 10. So, I mean, I'm very optimistic about Ineos's chances. I think they have a couple of very good cards to play here. I haven't even mentioned Pidcock, but I mean, we know by now that he is also probably a very good contender for a podium finish.
Well, we could talk through every single team, Ewan, but we also have the Echelon to finish. And yeah, if you're looking around, what other riders are kind of catching your eye? I'm looking at Rui Costa, who's had a very strong start to the season. Alberto Bessio, perhaps, as well. A stage win in the Tour Down Under. He loves this kind of terrain.
Also, with Bettiol, he's from Tuscany. And this is a Tuscan race. So, I mean, it would be very fitting for Bettiol to do it. But in the grand life and works of Ewan Wilson on this channel, I've spoken about Bettiol at length. He blows hot and cold. You never really know when he's going to get a solid result or a race win. But when he wins big. Maybe it's Bettiol's day, but I don't know. I don't think I can quite say it with confidence that he is a nail on for the podium. I like the look of his teammate, though, Miguel Onoré. I think he could do well. Doesn't quite have the best record at this race, but could bring something to the table. I'm also very optimistic about Valentin Madouin. He's been riding well recently. But overall, I mean, I spoke about him a lot in our in our sort of beginning of the season predictions, I said he'd finish on the podium, and that is Alexander Vlasov for Bora Hansgrohe, who's a really good one day racer. He's performed well on sort of classic profiles in the past. Flèche Wallonne podium last year, very good Liège-Bastogne-Liège. Hasn't quite been racing that much. He hasn't been racing much in 2023 so far, but he's targeting the Giro, and I think sort of showing himself in Italy at this point will be a very good sign of things to come. He's performed well on the gravel in the past, looking towards the Andalusia stage last year, and also at Montalcino at the Giro d'Italia. He was the best of the rest behind Egan Bernal on that stage, let's not forget. So I think Sasha Vlasov is a very good contender to do something special. Even looking back on recent years, we've always had one GC guy performed very, very well, looking towards Bormolo, who performed very well in 2020. In 2021, Egan Bernal performed very well. And last year, Pogacar won the race. So I would not be surprised if Sasha Vlasov ends up right at the pointy end of this race.
Yeah, but it's interesting that we have so many different winners in the race, despite not having Tadej Pogačar here. But yeah, Ewan, there's also Quinn Simmons. I think that's a name that we should throw in the hat as well. The former junior world champion. He was seventh last year. He said he put it all on the line and was really going for the win. So potentially one more year for the American. Do you think we could have our first ever podium finisher from North America?
Yeah, I mean, Quinn Simmons or Magnus Sheffield, take your pick.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
They're both very,
it's good
very
for
good.
US cycling right now.
It is. It's a really, really good time for American cycling. A lot of really good talent breaking through. And Quinn Simmons is part of it. Had a very strong race. Can't quite remember if it's last year or 2021. I think it was last year. But got a lot of mechanicals during the race. Sort of fell out of contention against his will almost. But he is a guy who can... He's a real engine, real fighter, and does quite well on these punchy hills, despite the fact that he's a big guy. I would suggest he's also in with a shout. I'd also like to see what his teammate, Filippo Baroncini, can do. He pulled out of Kuna Brussel Kona, but he's a guy who performs very well on rolling profiles. Yeah, keep your eye out for the Italian there.
Did you just call Quinn Simmons a big guy?
Yeah.
What do you define as big guy?
He's tall, and he's built.
What do you define as tall?
How tall is he?
How tall are you?
I'm 187 or so.
Yeah, he's 182.
Quinn Simmons is 182. In my head, he was taller. Nevertheless, he's 72 kilos. So we'll see.
So anyways, before we finish, make sure to check out the website as well for the preview write-up. But we're now coming to the favorite part of our show, the predictions. And we have already done our predictions in a way of this race in our predictions of the season earlier. And you can click up here if you want to see that video. But Ewan, we have more information now, kind of, because many of the riders haven't even raced the race. So we don't really have that much information. But who is your top 10 or top 3 for this race? That's not good. The top 10. That would be
top
too much.
Top 10 is quite the choice. Okay, I'm going to say that third place goes to Sasha Vlasov. Second place goes to Wout van Aert, and the winner's going to be Van der Poel. I just think on that final kicker to the lion in Siena or at La Tolfa, Van der Poel has it. Easily, he has the strongest kick out of any of these guys in the race. And a lot of the time at Strada Bianca, it comes down to who has got that dog in them, who's got the best kick in the end. And I think it is Mathieu.
I hate it when you make me having to do the outrageous podium. So I'll do that now because it's very similar to what I think I said in the previous video. But I'm going to be a bit more, historic in a way, because I think we're going to have our first British winner of the race. Tom Pidcock takes the victory. Quinn Simmons in third place and second place with Wout van Aert.
What happens to Mathieu?
He has a puncture. He has a puncture. The bike doesn't work. They have no spare tires. Even the Maverick neutral car. Just everything goes bad.
Okay, cats on sabotage.
Anyways, that's basically it for our video. Make sure to comment down below if your predictions are a bit better than mine. And like the video, subscribe to the channel. And of course, as always, thank you for watching and have a nice day.